Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. Dr. Jyoti Mayadev of the University of California San Diego School of Medicine spoke ahead of the FDA approval of pembrolizumab and chemoradiotherapy in stage 3 to 4A cervical cancer about how this regimen may be a major step for patients. She spoke to the regimen's progression-free survival benefit based on data from the KEYNOTE-A18 trial, how she plans to implement the combination into her practice, and other potential advancements in the cervical cancer space.
What would the approval of this pembrolizumab external beam radiotherapy-based combination mean for patients with newly diagnosed high-risk locally advanced cervical cancer?
Well, this approval would be a major step in patients with locally advanced high-risk node positive or just high-risk in general locally advanced cervical cancer. The standard of care has not changed in more than 25 years since the NCI alert announcement came out in 1999 relating the efforts to give concurrent chemotherapy with radiation. Therefore, we've been really working through clinical trials and efforts, throughout the globe to try to improve outcomes in patients with locally advanced cervical cancer. And so this would be a huge win for patients in terms of improving progression-free survivals and hopefully overall survivals. And a lot of this is really on the notion of the presentation that was given at ESMO this year for KEYNOTE-A18, really showing a progression-free survival benefit of 68% over 57% in patients with locally advanced cervical cancer.
Great breakdown. Thank you. I mean, as you mentioned, we've observed a PFS improvement with this pembrolizumab radiotherapy-based combination. Were there any other findings from that study that you think look promising?
Oh, definitely. I mean, it was an amazing effort from across the globe. The ENGOT GOG partners participated, in this large Merck trial, KEYNOTE-A18. More than 1,060 patients were randomized across the globe. There was 156 sites. So, in general, it led to a standardization across the world on how patients are treated with locally advanced cervical cancer. Other aspects are that IMRT was given in more than 89% of patients. So it was a very technologically advanced trial that had amazing RT quality QA. 75% of patients were treated within 56 days. The equivalent doses to the cervix, 87 gray. And so these are patients that were treated with high quality radiation. In addition to the progression-free survival benefit that was seen, there was a trend to overall survival. This, however, was not seen in all comers. On the forest plot breakdown, at the ESMO presentation, patients with 1B2 to 2B, even if they were node positive, did not show a significant benefit in progression-free survival. So these are things that we're going to be looking at as the FDA approval starts to come out in terms of who will be included in the FDA approval. I think the other thing that we learned from the ESMO presentation was that pembrolizumab added to chemoradiation and then followed by maintenance was well tolerated for the patients. There were, in terms of AEs, grade 3 and above in the pembrolizumab arm, about 75% versus 69% in the placebo arm. Immune-related adverse events were very low, 4.3% in the pembro arm versus 1.1% in the placebo arm. And interestingly enough, the colitis was also very low. This was also seen on the CALA trial, which gave durvalumab with chemoradiation followed by durva versus placebo. And again, in KEYNOTE-A18, the colitis rates were low, around 2.7% in the pembrolizumab arm versus 1.7% in the chemoradiation placebo arm. So these are, major highlights for patients. The other things that we learned from ESMO and the KEYNOTE-A18 that will translate, when we think pembrolizumab will be approved from the FDA is that there was no difference in patient-reported outcomes. The quality of life metrics were no difference between the arms. So patients were able to tolerate it well without a detriment in the quality of life.
lot of benefits across the board, both with respect to efficacy and safety, quality of life as well. So that covers a lot of the data like that we've currently seen from KEYNOTE-A18. Are there any other potential next steps for researching this regimen in this patient population?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think we've learned that, you know, through clinical trials, we can make outcome improvements in cervical cancer, that there are agents that are effective and that can translate to a clinically meaningful benefit in terms of survival for these patients. And at the same time, you know, 67% is still a goal that we need to improve upon. And so, you know, within various cooperative groups, there's various regimens that we're looking at, novel therapeutics, perhaps, you know, starting a certain agents before the chemo radiation. And so these are options that will, you know, continue to potentially improve outcomes in patients. I think from a radiation perspective, there are ongoing studies looking at adaptive technology, which translates into treating the patient real time with a real time plan. And this could potentially decrease further any type of side effects that would be incumbent on the patient after chemo radiation. And so, you know, we continue to strive as a scientific and academic community to try to keep improving the outcomes of these patients, and appreciate all the attention that everyone is giving in terms of the community and the scientific community to cervical cancer outcomes.
How would you plan to implement this regimen into your own clinical practice?
Right. And I think, you know, uptake of any new agent requires a multidisciplinary team approach. It requires workflows. We, you know, in our institution have participated in novel agent trials with chemo radiation. And so we would look to the FDA approvals. We would look to the NCCN guidelines. We already have methods of incorporating novel agents and immunotherapy in our workflow with chemo radiation for locally advanced cervical cancer. So, you know, for our particular institution, I think we would, you know, somewhat seamlessly go into the FDA approval. And at the same time, you know, we would try to help others in the community and, you know, as a scientific global community for GYN oncology and radiation oncology, we'll come together and start to incorporate how we can move forward with the FDA approval.
And kind of as a bonus question, like looking beyond this approval, are there any other developments in the cervical cancer space or perhaps radiation oncology as a whole that capture your interest in the moment?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, what we continue to look at patients with periaortic node positive disease. These tend to be patients that, you know, have early recurrences. So we're focusing on those patients, node positive patients. Like I was, you know, saying earlier, you know, potentially changing the sequencing. We've done some work within the NRG in phase one trials looking at sequencing of immunotherapy as a primer before chemo radiation. We're still hoping to build upon that. We also have a trial that's sponsored through Varian Medical Systems looking at adaptive technology, real-time imaging during radiation, real-time planning. And so with these type of AI techniques, I think that we're going to see, you know, increased efficiency, increased effectiveness, and really improvement of the targets for patients with cervical cancer.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.